Let's get her going. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 26th day of October 2021. Gang's all here, JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and it's going to be a pretty blah October day today with the clouds, showers for most of the day today, and a high of only 9 degrees. 9 degrees will be the high today. Now, forecast has improved for the rest of the week, which is good. Tomorrow looks pretty sunny now with a high of 13 degrees. Thursday, we told you would be sunny. It remains sunny, so that's good. 13 degrees on Thursday, and then Friday we'll see a mix of sun and clouds in 12. So some nicer days coming toward, starting tomorrow for the rest of the work week at least, and then for the weekend, cloudy showers for both Saturday and Sunday. But that's long range. Maybe that'll change too. Today, not a great day, and as you wake up this morning, where's my temperature? Hang on. 6 degrees. 6 degrees. And again, we're only going to get to 9 as we say good morning and hello to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent, Jer. I'm into my window right now. I have no expectations of good weather. So anything you bring to me that sounds good, I'm going to be very happy.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And you can get out and you have the rollerblades going these days or what's going on?
Oh, no.
Pack those bad boys away?
You know what? This year wasn't as much of the rollerblade. Did quite a bit of running outside down to the bridge and back in North Manitic. And now the old gym, which is located right in the Loblaws, as I become an expert grocery shopper during COVID, I just slide right into there. And it was weird yesterday going in, JR. I usually tuck my stuff off to the side. I bring my towel, my water bottle, got all my different things there. And I'm going to set up shop. And I'm like, wow, the treadmill next to me is actually open. So the old gym was fully open yesterday with no restrictions.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Been back into the gym. So that's felt very good, to be quite honest with you. I've been taking a little while to get the old cardio back. But
yes.
She's been coming along. I had a bit of a breakthrough this week. So I just want to share that with you guys. I'm just feeling better, feeling more myself.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Like a breakthrough physically or mentally?
Mentally I've been very strong the last probably 8 months.
Excellent.
Physically, yes. The cardio just took a real hit during COVID. So.
I'm smelling a Boston Marathon.
I'm smelling Boston Chicken or Boston Market.
How about a Boston Cream?
One of my kids hit me on the weekend with wondering when the Ottawa Marathon is next year and said she wants to qualify for the Boston Marathon.
Awesome.
I said, wow. I said, well, good on you. Yeah. And then we tried to figure out what time you needed to run in the Ottawa Marathon to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And that's where it stopped. I didn't look it up.
Nowadays it's become such a big thing, Hammer, worldwide. Like, it is real tough to get into. And we had our good friend Sean Reed mention, and he went down. His wife Tori ended up running it.
Well, that's right. It was in September this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Typically in April.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm assuming they're having it again this April?
The Boston Marathon?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it goes back to the old
timeline.
Yeah,
you go back to, right? Yeah, yeah. You want to celebrate that. You think about being in Boston and good old St. Paddy's Day and everything else. But for those. Now, having the goals for that, though, and I guess everything in life, that's the real key, though, right? Is trying to figure out, hey, what exactly do I have to run and what kind of time? Did you look up the actual time?
That's where we stopped. I had speculated.
I've got you.
Does it go by not only gender, but by age category?
You got it. 10-4.
Okay. So my daughter is 22.
Okay.
Or 23. I can't remember. One or the other. 23. 23. Just turned 23. Yes. So I'm going to say that to qualify for the Boston Marathon, you would have to run 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. Boom, my good friend.
That's right.
Bang on.
Nice.
Bang on.
You're an expert.
Okay. All right. And what does it move up to? Let's say you're in your 30s.
Not too much. Just 5 minutes.
3:35?
So 18 to 34 is the first group.
Oh, okay.
And then 35 to 39 just moves up 5 minutes to 3 hours and 35 minutes.
Okay. And do they put a cap on it, guys? Or
yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, again, maybe just because we're in the Northeast, JR, or kind of in that segment, like, would you agree that this is the most famed marathon in the world? Or are we just so kind of North American-centered?
Yeah. I think the New York Marathon is bigger.
Okay.
But I think the Boston Marathon is more famous.
That's the bucket list marathon to do.
Big time, eh?
Exactly.
How about 80 and over? We can start training right now.
Let's go with
the qualifying time?
You're working with two guys in their 50s. Yeah. What about guys in their 50s?
4 hours and 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you sound like you've got a chance.
I'd rather
saying there's a chance.
I'd rather turn that into a pub crawl on bikes.
I'm just surprised.
My fault. I was still looking on the woman's column. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
3 hours and 35 minutes.
Oh, what a rip. Half an hour shorter for a guy than a girl?
Sorry about that.
26 miles in 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. So I say we just start training and start looking at the 80 and over crew here. Yeah.
I think we should get rid of all the Hammer's equipment. We put a treadmill in there.
Yep.
And we just take turns. We rotate the show. Hey,
why don't we do shows while we're all on a
treadmill.
While we're doing it?
Just hamsters on wheels. We just get going and we don't stop.
Yeah. We even power up the equipment. Hey?
Yeah, exactly.
We could turn the whole show into a green.
Very green.
Hey, we'd have no footprint.
4 hours and 50 minutes. That's what you're looking for, 80 and over for the men. Four hours and 50 minutes.
450, not 415.
No, 4 hours and 50 minutes 50 for 80
minutes.
And over.
Okay,
yeah.
What about 70?
70 for...
I'm just trying to find a sweet spot for time plus my age.
Oh, JR's looking
for... Yeah, this one fits JR for 70 and over. 4 hours, 20 minutes. A good old 420 there for you, sir.
420, hey, some 420 for some 420.
While you're running.
Some combustibles.
What are we talking
about? On
26, guys. So, like, I mean, obviously, a 10 minute mile in an hour, you're going to run 6 miles. So, are we talking pretty easily that, hey, that's your 4 hours? You got to run a 10 minute mile. Am I accurate in saying that, boys?
I don't even know miles. I know kilometers.
Well, no, a 10-minute mile, so I'm going to run 6 miles in an hour. So it's 26 miles is a marathon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically over 4 hours would be that would be what you'd have to train to do.
Yeah,
right?
I think you got to average a little bit more than that.
Yeah. No, for 3:35 you do for sure, Hammer. I'm saying over 4 hours would be in and around that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the four, like, what age as a guy are you is it 4 hours?
65 to 69.
Okay.
You think you're going to get better as you age?
Well, I'm just trying to look for that sweet spot of my age plus what it seems to be an attainable time.
And giving yourself enough time to prep for it as well, right?
So, I mean, I've got over a decade, so I'm good there, man.
You can start getting to work right now.
I want to see JR go and do the marathon. I want to see him in Larry Bird tile shorts.
Absolutely.
Oh, right up top there?
Oh, yeah. Old Converse. So
high sock.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe kind of a Bill Walton.
Were they known in the basketball parlance as nut huggers?
I don't know what they were. They were just considered to be cool at the time, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you agree, though, they're going a little shorter now? There was a time, and I think of the Fab Five all the time.
Super baggy.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that whole, like, almost below the knees. I like the look they have now. And they also wear a ton of under equipment now, right? I started watching the Raptors game. And
always the pants.
Well, the sleeves, right? And I wonder how you designate when you have one sleeve. Now, I know in the arms it makes sense because of your shooting arm, I assume, is the one you want the sleeve on. I've never really understood why the one leg is covered and the other one isn't. But
it's a compression. Right, so maybe it has to do with some sort of muscle injury or something.
We're overthinking. It's fashion. They're just trying to look cool. Mm. Look, I got one bare leg. I got one leg covered because not
maybe
too many
when
people
I
do
run
it.
My marathon, that's what I'll do. Okay, I'll go left arm compression and right leg. And I'll start
off in the Rocky Balboa sweatsuit.
The full on.
And then you start peeling that off because that shows the sweat. That shows you're really working.
Some good pit stains.
You've got the gray on, right? And those gray ones are never washed. When you pick them up off the floor, they're basically stale enough that you can just kind of slide them on your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I've done the 5K at Ottawa Race Weekend training.
Tell us about that, JR.
Without training.
I'm just thinking about moving up to
42K, so I'm just have to add 37 kilometers to what I've done untrained.
Not a whole lot there.
And I ran that 5K in 28 minutes. So
the 5K in 28 minutes. Yeah, that's not... That's
so okay. I have to multiply that by 8.
Yeah.
So... Okay, so...
40.
That's close. In 10 years from now, right?
And how long ago did you run the 5K? And how strong were you in the 5K?
It was the race weekend. People will remember this a few years ago. That was the hottest race weekend on record. They almost decided to cancel it.
Yeah.
At the last minute, they decided to go.
You were so happy about that.
I was the last person I signed because the rest of my family were all running. And I said, well, if they're running, I have to run, even though I haven't trained for it. So I was the last person on the Saturday. It was the Saturday at 4 o'clock. I signed up at 1 o'clock. And I showed up, and I was ready to go. And man, for the when you're running through the downtown core first with the tall buildings when there was no sun, I was like, I got this. This is good. And then you make the turn. You go up to Wellington. You go by Parliament Hill. I'm still feeling really good. I'm about 1 kilometer in. Feeling good.
And then
you make the turn onto Colonel By or whatever the one. I can never remember which side is
which. No, it's Colonel By.
Colonel By. You make the turn, you go by the West End. Yeah. You're feeling good. You're I'm still in the shade at that point.
Yeah.
And then there's the point just past Ottawa U. You make that bend to the right, right along the canal. You know where I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that's when it was full on sun right there. And that's where JR died.
That's where JR went to die.
And I was looking for the agua.
Yeah.
There was no agua. Yeah. They promised more agua. There was no water to be found.
I'm picturing you showing up in your jeans, putting out a butt on the road, and just hearing the gunfire and go, all right, let's do this thing.
A lot of chafing. Also, Hobbs and I saw you there. We were running, and I got to say, I had it all planned out, and it was we needed Water Boy there because it was really bad.
Oh my God, it was bad.
And all of a sudden, to turn the corner, and then I got really
what I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
When you made that curve right there, it was like this wall of heat.
No, it was like running forever. And then I'm coming down the stretch, and I start to see the time that I'm running. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. And then when the family of four with the kids under 10 passed me, I really got looking like they could do another
10K.
I really got demoralized, and I was hoping nobody would see me as I finished. That day was incredibly hot for sure.
Yeah, my favorite is the fact that the Kenyans and the Ethiopians that come to run in the marathon, like they do the circuit, right? Yeah. That they run the 10, not the 5K, they run the 10K on the Saturday night because the marathon's the Sunday. They run it as a warm up. They just run it as a 10 kilometer race as a warm up to a 42 kilometer race the next day, and they finish the thing, and it's just like they've gone out for a 100-meter jog.
I know.
Crazy. Crazy. Anyway, that's next year. We'll worry about next year. Next year.
You're not doing anything next year.
You don't.
Is that
a challenge? That the challenge for me to run the marathon next year? Now, I should probably, small steps.
Nice 2K?
Maybe go 5K. Maybe I should move to the 10.
Yeah.
Or maybe the half if I really want to buy off a lot. Bite off a lot. But you know what? I'm going to consider it. I'm going to think about it.
You'll never get to it.
Probably not. All right, we're going to get to the Sens and the Caps. What a crazy game for a Monday night. Crazy goal scoring. The Sens have been playing a lot of low-scoring games. In fact, no game with more than 5 goals so far this season in their first 5 games. Last night, not so much. They scored 5. Unfortunately, they gave up 7. So we'll talk all about the Caps and the Sens shootout game last night and some other off-ice news from the Sens. We'll get into all of that and the rest of the NHL story, including the Leafs falling yet again, this time against their former mate, Freddie Anderson, and the Carolina Hurricanes. So go through all the hockey stuff, the Monday Nighter in the NFL, the World Series gets underway. We got a ton of stuff to give away today, including... we got an all-day Red Blacks ticket giveaway. They got a home game coming up on Friday. We've got tickets for you to be there all day starting next hour. So details on that still to come. Our grand prize winner in our Jersey Monday contest, Sens Jersey Monday, and as well our $1,000 minute. Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us. Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN. We'll talk about the general manager's opening with the Red Blacks after Marcel Desjardins was let go yesterday. So all of that when we come back here on a Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, we mentioned it's an all-day Red Blacks ticket giveaway here on TSN 1200. That will start next hour and every hour right through 5 o'clock this afternoon. We'll have a pair of tickets to see the Red Blacks play the Calgary Stampeders. It's the second-to-last home game of the season. It's coming up on Friday night. You could be there. Pair of tickets every single hour. And we mentioned the weather forecast is improving a bit toward the end of the week. So looks like potentially could be a nice night. We'll see on that. But, hey, time is running short. If you haven't been to a game or you want to make sure you get to a game between now and the end of the season. So tickets all day today here on TSN 1200. All right, talk more Red Blacks that are coming up. I mentioned Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN will join us later on in the show. Some interesting names have already been put forth regarding the general manager's position with the Red Blacks, which, of course, is now open after the firing of Marcel Desjardins yesterday. One of the names that I saw mentioned, Dwayne Ford, as a matter of fact. So we decided, why not go right to the horse's mouth? Now, Dwayne may not know that we're going to ask him that question, or maybe he will, but we'll put the question to him. Does he have interest in the general manager's position with the Red Blacks? Dwayne Ford will join us coming up after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and as far as the process, be very interesting, JR. As they've already mentioned, they think Coach LaPolice is going to be back. Well, I would assume if you're trying to get a working relationship, you would involve him in the process because it would defeat it and put you back to basically Marcel Desjardins and Coach Campbell if you bring in somebody who's like, oh, I'm going to take the job and going to reevaluate. If that's realistically the path you're going to go, might as well hire a manager that likes them.
Yeah, yeah, and also that they're on the same page, right?
Very much.
Yeah. It does, and whatever you think of Paul LaPolice's job so far this year with the Red Blacks, it does, I would think, potentially narrow your list of candidates even by a little bit if you're saying, well, the general manager has to align with the head coach. That's not going to be every single person. So if the best candidate ends up not being a person who's eligible because they don't align with LaPolice, then I don't know. But I do understand it from the perspective of, look, this is not the NFL. It's the Canadian Football League. There's budgets. Paul LaPolice has 2 more years left on his contract after this one. Yeah. It would be, I would be hard-pressed to remember a time in which a CFL team let go a head coach who had that much time left on his contract. That's a lot of money to bite on.
Yeah, for sure. And the only thing you'd ask is a general manager, Jay, if that's the case, assuming if you're going from within, everybody would know his work very well and probably have a pretty good decision. But you'd also say, okay, no problem. It's a transitional year anyway. Give me a year to evaluate. Do I have the option then to make a change after the first year? That's probably all you'd ask as a manager. And I think that would at least keep everybody in understanding, hey, I'm not locked in necessarily for the next couple of years, as I'm assuming next year will be another rebuilding year for the Red Blacks anyway.
Yeah, OSEG President Mark Gowdy was on with the boys yesterday on the drive and said his expectation is that Paul LaPolice will return along with his coaching staff for next season. So more on all that with Dwayne Ford coming up a little later on this morning. We mentioned Mike Johnston, BRTSN Hockey Insider. Today he'll join us after 8. Mike will share some thoughts on last night's Caps Sens game. Did you see 12 goals coming yesterday, Simmer?
Oh, not a chance.
Yeah. Sens had played 5 games so far this year. No game had a total of 5 goals or more than 5 goals. Last night, not so much. In fact, the Sens scored 5. Problem was, the Caps scored 7.
Tim Stützle in the zone. Trying to win the puck back. Can't do it. Now Holden under siege between 2 Caps. And here's Oshie. Going to bring it in front. Does wrap around. Scores! Oshie with the hat trick goal with less than 10 seconds to go in the period.
And that was probably, if you looked at the night on the whole, maybe the backbreaker that came. Of course, the Sens were down early 4-1 in the first period. Found a way to battle back in the second to make it 4-4. Alexander Ovechkin somehow isn't penalized on a hit from behind on Nick Paul. Remains on the ice and eventually scores the go-ahead goal. For the Caps, put them up 5-4. And then that goal right there in the dying seconds of the second period put them up 6-4. Sens would get close in the third, but the Caps would win 7-5.
Yeah, and for Forsberg, probably the first time since he's come over, Jared, it's not his night. Picking the corners, but not sharp, and all of a sudden you're down. Great comeback. And unfortunately, when you look at the top line for the Sens, when you look at the top D pairing, good to go. After that, not a ton, and certainly on the back end, both pairings really struggled, and Zaitsev on that goal right there somehow looked like he was on a skateboard, and I don't know how he missed Oshie. Well, coming around.
Oshie cut inside of him.
Exactly.
Like, that's almost impossible to do. Like, you're supposed to box a guy out.
It's impossible to miss a player, and you just don't see it. First of all, Alexander Ovechkin doesn't have any interest in blocking your shot. But you can't let that stuff happen. And I'm having some fun with it. But, again, the D pairings, Shabbat and Zube, world class.
Fun.
It's just fun to watch. Like, it honestly, it's going to be one of the elite D pairings. I called it. But after that, it was a big-time struggle. And that's really tough against a team like Washington.
The Oshie hat trick goal, that's when Zaitsev goes down on one knee and laces his stick along the ice, correct?
Yeah.
And does one of his patented slides out of the way.
Yes.
Of the puck
and
he cuts
inside of him.
Now, and you never want to go below the goal line, Hammer, for starters. But that particular play, like I said, you're guarding against a pass, but to miss the player, the puck, and everything else involved. And as I said, just for him, it kind of speaks to, unfortunately, he's been off to a very chaotic start.
Yeah, -3 on the night was Nikita Zaitsev for large portions of the night. DJ Smith said after the game, he was kind of asked, hey, would you like to play Shabbat and Zub the whole night? Or words to that extent. They played Zaitsev and Holden together, and they played the second most, and then the third pairing of Josh Brown had a really rough night, and Victor Mete didn't play much at all. But that goal by Oshie ends up a bit of a bad break because it goes in off Holden's skate into the net. Okay. But regardless, hat-trick goal for Oshie. He's got 5 now in his career. Alexander Ovechkin added a pair of goals. We can talk about his night in just a second, but Alexander Ovechkin had a couple of looks at an empty net and a hat trick, which would have been not the second hat trick of the night, but the third, because there was an Ottawa hat trick in this game as well.
Here's a chance in front, scores! Redirected in front. Is Patterson going to get this?
I think so, Dean. I think this will be his hattie goal, his first of his career. Brady Tkachuk scoops up the puck, and I believe you are correct.
Yeah, he was correct. Yeah, when the signal of who got there, because Brady Tkachuk is standing at the side of the net with some Caps defenseman, Orlov, I believe it was, and you kind of like, did Tkachuk get his stick on that one? He's the guy bending over to pick up the puck. That's a pretty good indication he knew it was Batherson's hat-trick goal, which, was a highlight for Ottawa in a losing effort as they fall 7-5.
Yeah, and on that one, at least the initial celebration by Tkachuk, guys, I thought he scored it, right? Because he kind of turned away in a singular way, and then he picks it up, which is awesome. And as far as Batherson, beautiful night. And that second goal, JR, and it's real nice because, hey, a little different this year. The guy's now almost a $5 million hockey player. He's starting to come into his own. He's shooting the puck. But that second goal was Datsukian-like, and it was very cool to see old Norm and a bunch of the boys from out east in the stands, and Norm came down to the glass and threw a hat out for his son. Like, oh, what a cool, cool moment. And I know they lost.
Was that his dad? There was a TV shot of a couple of gentlemen sort of later on.
It was. That was Normie.
Yeah. Okay. And, of course, you had Norm in your in the Cap system back in the day.
Yeah, so. Played in Portland, won the Calder Cup way back in the day. But it just, hey, and you know what's also a mixed emotion, guys, and it's kind of nice where the Sens are at. A lot of times after a loss, you don't want to celebrate or smile. And for Drake Batherson, nice picture of him with the 3 pucks, nice little post game, and talked about friends and family and everybody being at the game last night. It just turned into a fun night, guys. Hey, I don't know how you felt being there, Hammer, at 4-1. I was like, oh my god, are you kidding me? And then, hey, it really turned into high event hockey, which we like.
Here is Drake Batherson talking about scoring that hat trick goal.
Pretty special. I mean, I had my dad in the stands tonight too, so to do that in front of him, a couple of my buddies and some relatives were here, so it's a special night. My dad said he lost his hat, so I have to get him a new one. But, obviously it would have been nice to get the win, but it was really special having him here for that.
Okay, so Norm Batherson, obviously not aware of JR's longstanding pro tip, if you're going to the game, that you bring an extra hat with throw on the ice. You don't want to lose your gamer.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose your $30 hat.
Yeah.
You'd like to throw a hat, don't get me wrong. And for a time there, it looked like there were going to be more hats on the ice for TJ Oshie's hat trick than there were for Drake Batherson. Now, eventually, there was a bra, which we can get into in just a second, but eventually there was a good collection of hats that were thrown on the ice for Drake Batherson, including the one from the old man.
Yeah, and that is, I guess a little planning there, Jer. Now, are you able to, I think we've discussed this in the before.
You can get your hat back.
Okay, get
a
it
woman
back.
Who was a former usher.
Okay.
I put that out on the Twitter machine last night, and a former usher. Okay. Said that you can retrieve your hat. Now, is it if it's a common hat, do you know 100% it's your hat? Because then you got somebody else's head sweat. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm wondering during COVID, boys, I think the rules will change.
That's a fair point.
I'm not feeling you're getting your hat back, and I feel like it's going into the burner. There's probably a burner down underneath where they burn everything. The cool thing they do in Philadelphia, boys, they have this massive display of hats, and every time they get a hat trick in Philadelphia at a Flyers game, they keep filling it up over the years, so you get to see all the hats that are in there. So you can go see your hat on display.
So it was a topsy-turvy night, to be sure. Big deficit, nice comeback, but ultimately a loss. Here's DJ Smith on the game.
We weren't ready to play defense out the gate. Their big players made us pay. I mean, Oshie gets 3, Ovechkin gets 2. Unbelievable effort to come back, make it 4-4, and then some really bad plays by by some of our guys that ends up in the net.
There you go. And, you can't as a coach, but it was pretty apparent who he was referring to. At one point, he talked about a couple of his defensemen turning pucks over. It was an especially rough night for Josh Brown. First couple of goals were both the pucks, the pucks that ended up in the net were on his stick to begin with, and quickly back in his own net. So it was not a great night for Josh Brown, and that has now reopened the debate. Not that it's ever stopped with the kind of revolving door of defensemen with the Sens of, is it time to bring Eric Brännström back up from Belleville? By all accounts, I don't know that he's really lit it up. I'm only going by stats and by plus minus and stuff. I haven't watched any of the games. Yeah. Don't know that he's lighting it up so far. I think Trent Mann will be on with Steve Lloyd today on In the Box. Probably get a better indication there, but I wonder if they would consider that bringing an extra defenseman on the road.
Yeah, every time, you look at this, a couple of things, JR. Circumstance. Now, I generally want the guy to go down and play really well, but I can understand in this circumstance, boys, it's not easy. Brännström played very well down the stretch last year. To me, if you looked at this logically, and if I was representing him, I would say, hey, to be quite honest with you, to me, you are one of the best six defensemen. You should be there, and you can certainly get the puck out of your own zone. If you want to focus on defensively, well, I don't think there's exactly a Rod Langway on the team outside of the top pairing, JR, so I can understand it. Now, the issue they're running into, unfortunately, is after Holden, you just don't have much stability. And so I assume if you bring Brännström up, you play him with Holden. What do you do with Zaitsev? I mean, Zaitsev and Mete together ain't going to work. Zaitsev with Brown isn't going to work. And you're into a spot here, and then you mix in Delzato. And this is what has, you know, come back to bite them early on. The focus is on the top end, which is the young players and the top D pairing. But that lack of depth and the missing on what looks like Samford, dressing Sabourin, where Brown is at, bringing in Delzato, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome that during the year, JR, because I don't see a sequence on the back end. And now against the Rangers, they were fine. But overall, from what we're seeing, it's hard to see what pieces of the puzzle you'd put together, even if Brännström is here, to really realistically make it work.
They are missing the fourth defenseman.
Yeah.
You know, and not that Nick Holden on a Stanley Cup champion is a third defenseman. But on Ottawa's mix right now, he's decent. He's decent enough that you'd say, okay, you put him in a top four, but it's the fourth guy, in my opinion, that's missing right
now. Yeah, totally.
Zaitsev has been, unfortunately, chaotic is the word that always seems to come around, and it's been more chaotic. And I know the coaching staff really, really has liked him. I can't speak to how they're feeling about his season so far this year, but at the end of last year, they talked about how they like him, how competitive he is. But he's just, On a team that wants to be good, he's just not good enough. No, that's the bottom line.
And the part you don't want, JR, and again, I understand when you pump your tires, but when they deem him to be an elite defender, which he's not, when they deem him to be hard to play against when he's not, you know, I don't know why you have to go down that path. And the part you don't want with veteran players, the chaotic part and the instability that he creates. And as I said, you just think to yourself the last couple of years, what Thomas Chabot's had to deal with. The reason he was just okay was because he actually had Thomas Chabot playing with him. And it's really hard because it's very unsettling the way that he plays. And like I said, any partner that's playing with him is all of a sudden thrown off. And when you're really counting on him right now to be a second pairing defenseman, it's just not going to work. And these aren't things that he's going to overcome. This has been what has plagued him his entire career. He's just not a very poised player. He works hard. He seems to be a good fella. But anytime there's any type of pressure, anytime he plays any type of high minutes, it just turns into a lot of chaos.
Now, to kind of spin at least from, and we can get into the rest of the team throughout the morning, but to spin a positive light on the Sens defense, Chabot and Zub, I thought last night was the best game that I've ever seen them play together. Now, they've only played six in total. They've been paired together. There was some time last year, but like every time they were on the ice, Ottawa was all over Washington, thanks in part. And you've been talking up Zub forever, and rightfully so. And it just, you can tell that he and Chabot already have there's a chemistry there. And Thomas Chabot must feel incredibly calm knowing he's playing because Zub is just solid.
Yeah.
Zub is very solid, and Chabot can now do his thing. And last night he was doing his thing.
Yeah, and I think Erik Karlsson would have been okay, JR, and he won a couple of Norris trophies. But you have to go back and look at that sequence and trading Foligno for Mark Methot of finding the proper fit at the time. And that's when the defense and the organization, same thing. It was great that it was them, but after that, it was really hard to find find another pairing. But what that meant, Erik Karlsson, to find that type of player. And as I said, when you watch Zub and you look at Chabot and you try to understand, okay, a couple of years ago, expectations, contract, he was with DeMello, seemed pretty good. Coach comes in, loves Zaitsev. We're going to put Zaitsev with him. Now you see the feel of it. And it is the simplest thing, guys, if I could boil this down. When you have elite hockey players, whether you're a D pairing or you're a forward group, hockey sense is such an incredible thing because the reliability, I'll even say what Ron Hainsey provided for Morgan Rielly when he was in Toronto, JR, it's the dependability when you actually just know the person can think the game. I don't need you, you know, just, and the part was Zub that I thought last year and we're seeing now, I didn't see him as just a stay-at-home defender. Like, there's so much more to his game that it's not just, hey, I'll take the puck and throw it back to Chabot. He can make plays as well. So it really is going to be a fun pairing. And when you kind of look at the big three going forward, you got those two, and hopefully Sanderson will be the pillars of defense for what should be a very what will be better at some point.
Yeah, and you know, and Jake Sanderson presumably will be here toward the end of this coming season, and I don't think he's going to need a whole lot of time. And maybe I'm overselling him a little bit, but just based on what I've seen in college, it seems like he should be able to step right in, and he won't be as dominant as he was in college right away, but he just looks like he's going to be a terrific prospect. So, you know, there you go. There's three, and then you think, you know, Jacob Bernard Docker, I think there's a very good chance he's going to be a decent NHL player. Lassie Thompson impressed in his training camp, and maybe he's on his way here at some point. Yeah. So there are some solutions coming. Yeah. But it's down the road, and it's the problem is it's what do you do in the meantime? How do you get between now and then? What's your bridge to get from where the team is now as they begin this new hockey season to when those guys are all potentially playing for you and playing well in the NHL? Yeah. That's the problem for the Sens right now.
And it's just hard, I mean, to address it. Now, you also look at kind of whatever spring or how it plays out, and there's no guarantees on Sanderson. Looks like UND this year, JR, is a decent team, right? I don't think they're going to take a run to the national championship, so could be here a little bit sooner. But I would assume as he comes in, Holden would be the perfect partner for him. Then you transition the rest of the group. But yeah, these are the parts that we talk about, drafting and development. And the focus should be on the high-end players, and that first line and some other pieces along with the top D pairing looked great. Murray's looked real good, but when you go through the lack of depth, and especially on the blue line, when you have an opportunity for agency on Delzato, like, you just going forward, you cannot miss on players. Like, every little bit, Sanford, anybody that comes in, you need people that add to the young group, not that take away from it.
Unfortunately, and again, it's early days. Delzato, even by his own admission, did not have a good training camp, so that at this point does not look like it's a good signing, and this one's a 2-year contract, not a 1-year contract, so you're kind of stuck with that, or maybe it's a buyout at the end of this year, we'll see. And right now, to this stage, Sanford has been just not very impressive.
He doesn't look like he's excited to be here, and I'm just saying that watching on the ice here. He just looks like a player, and I don't know him that well from St. Louis, but he doesn't look like there's a whole lot of second effort or that he's overly enthusiastic.
There's no standout ability right there. I'm trying to. I always look for a player. I look like, what's the one thing that I would hang my hat on about this player? And I haven't found it with him yet. I'm kind of watching him and going, okay, what's the thing? He's a big guy, and so I think, okay, big guy, maybe he's physical. No, not really. You know, maybe he can skate really well. He can skate okay. You know, maybe he's physical, not overly. You know, I'm kind of waiting for something. Yeah. Haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, and it will be. Any little piece helps right now, at least up front. It'll be nice to get Watson's energy back in there. You know, that is something at least you rely on, you can count on, and I think that's something nice to have.
Good team guy, too. I think that will help, talking about Austin Watson getting. He's back skating, so presumably he'll be back at some point here in the near future. Sens are off today. Practice day tomorrow. Looks like the new guy, Dylan Gambrell, will be in town today, so he should be at practice tomorrow. Maybe he'll be in the lineup on Friday. That's the next game. Sens start a 3-game road trip in Dallas on Friday. It's a kind of a weird schedule. No games on the weekend. They play Friday in Dallas, Monday in Chicago, and then 1 week from tonight, they're in Minnesota, and then return home to face the Vegas Golden Knights. That's the next home game a week from Thursday. We'll see. Mark Stone, the last time I looked, I think is still injured. So we'll see if Mark Stone is on the road to recovery and would make his return to Ottawa in the Vegas lineup. But that's a week and a half down the road. All right, thoughts on the game are always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. For you, who impresses, who doesn't, as we continue along here. 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone line's always open at 750-1200 as we roll on here for a Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:50 here on a Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer sends full 7-5 to the Caps. They're back at it Friday night in Dallas. Let's get to a couple of texts at 1200. And again, when you text, the standard messaging rates apply. On our earlier conversation about running, J.R., you should have pulled a Rosie Ruiz. That's from Dwight in Kanata. Yeah, well, we don't have a subway here. In fact, we don't have any sort of...
Was that what Rosie used?
She used this Boston. Yeah, she used the subway to get to the finish line at the Boston Marathon.
Now you could do Uber, though. Uber Eats is even better. Yeah, have a snack in the car.
Like to use our $2 billion transit system, but apparently that doesn't work.
Yeah. But the tracks are free.
Yes, that's a good point.
You can put your own buggy on the tracks. Have Hammer doing one of those things there.
A rickshaw?
No. You're on the old pump one they used to use, right, to get her going on the tracks.
Just like a seesaw there.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You guys should train by riding bikes during the interviews like the Sens used to.
Brendan Shanahan?
Shanahan that mocked the Sens
that
at one point?
That faked it there.
With that?
You know, it's funny, that all started with the Edmonton Oilers guys in the 80s. They were the bike riding crew, and that was a big, big deal for their training and all the stuff, and that's really what it became. Then, I think it was Gary Roberts was very anti-bike guys, because what happens if you ride the bike too much? Tighten up the hammies. And so that caused a lot of issues for guys where the hammies got a little tight.
Brent writes, good morning, lads. Always wondered why there was a pair of ghost running shoes and an empty water bottle. On Colonel By, just past Ottawa U, that's where JR died on the 5K. Makes sense now. Thanks for the explanation, JR.
That's where he went into the canal for a swim. He actually swam across the canal to cut off part of it.
I needed some agua.
It was dark, and his family were still waiting for him at the finish line.
It was hot. And all that hops that I wanted to do was get there and get our medal and pretend that we actually did something.
Hey, that's all that matters.
All right, 6:52. More on the Sens coming up. More your reaction as well. The Monday nighter in the NFL to wrap up week 7 at the beginning of the season. You go, wow, that looks like it'd be a good game. Saints and Seahawks. Yep, not so much. It was raining most of the night in Seattle. The Seahawks do not have Russell Wilson. Oh, man, do they not have Russell Wilson. All Geno could just cannot get it done, unfortunately. Their offense is pretty much non-existent. Saints really weren't much better last night. Their game plan was give the ball to Alvin Kamara, pass the ball to Alvin Kamara, which resulted in 180 yards in offense, and that was pretty much it. Game is 10-10. Let's take it to the dying minutes.
Snap. Kick. You hear the silence, and that's a good thing to hear. It is good. Brian Johnson nails it from 33 yards out.
There you go. Rookie Brian Johnson. I think that was his first game in the NFL, or among the first. Saints kicker, and he provides the winning kick. As the Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10.
Yeah, and you end up taking me down on the old fantasy there, Mr. Lockett, only 3 points. Old Geno
called that yesterday.
The end of the old Seahawks season, being in the same division as Rams and Cardinals. And
you okay, Hammer? This is uncharted territory.
Your
Seahawks are always a contender. Russell Wilson's been there since 2012.
He's been the mainstay. He's been healthy. He's what stirs the drink here for the Seahawks.
Doesn't him not playing just crystallize? And we've seen this in various other places, and usually it's the quarterback. You remove the great quarterback from the team, and then you watch the team and you go, my God, these guys are just a shell.
They just crumble.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing there, no threat.
And I'm assuming Lockett's got his money, guys, so okay, you're kind of good to go. In the case of DK Metcalf, the effect this has on, and we can get into kind of the COVID and talking about Adams and what's happening with Green Bay, JR, but can't even imagine when you go to certain teams, or I'm assuming when you sign, you either say, okay, I got a quarterback where I can put up some numbers, or they got a couple featured guys, I'm never going to see the ball anyway, right? And for those receivers, you just go into a game understanding. And even the Metcalf throw and the touchdown, JR, I thought was a lot of luck. The defender stumbled a little bit. The throw
was a penalty on Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But and the throw itself, I said to Hammer, there was no touch on it. He just decided, let me whip the ball here and see if Metcalf catches it.
Jeez, the Seahawks made one play all game, and here you guys are just crapping on it. A big old that was a great play by DK.
It should have been a penalty.
Got himself open.
First time since 2011, the Seahawks have lost 3 games in a row at home. That's, we're talking 10 years. That is normally, of course, the home of the 12th man and the house of pain for the opposition. But again, no Russell Wilson. Seahawks fall to 2-5 and in a whole lot of trouble as far as a playoff spot this year goes. Congratulations to our Week 7 pick and pool winner. We had a 7-way tie for top spot, so we had to go to the tiebreaker. And unofficially, our winner with 16 points this week is Ivy Davis. I'm assuming
that is a
Ivy.
Low point total.
There weren't a lot of games. This was the lowest amount of games, I think, in any week. But there were a lot of
homers.
A lot of home teams that won and a couple of upsets as well. So 16 points was a winner unofficially. So Ivy, whose team name is Captain, will be in touch once we make things official. And you have scored yourself a $100 gift card courtesy of Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. And as one week ends, another begins. Our Week 8 picks are already online for you at tsn1200.ca. Just click on Pick 'em Pool. New game every week, free to play. All we need is your picks, and it's straight up, by the way, 2 points if you pick the visiting team and they win. That's the secret to our pool. So make sure you get your picks in by Thursday's Thursday Nighter, which kicks off Week 8. It's a good one. 6-1 Green Bay at 7-0 Arizona. And as you heard Simmer mention, the breaking news on that, Devontae Adams, the fantastic Packers receiver, has tested positive for COVID. He will need 2 negative tests between now and Thursday to be able to play in the game on Thursday. So, again, he's tested positive. Doesn't mean that he has it, but he's tested positive. That's the way the NFL protocols work. So, at this point, I would say probably better chance that he won't play then will, and if not, that's a huge, huge hole for the Packers. Already playing on the road against the league's only undefeated team.
Yeah, and just to give you guys some stats here, I was going to have an opportunity to break that down. What? Okay, that's really nice.
We love your stats. What are you talking about?
Break it down for us.
In the last 3 years when Adams has been out of the lineup, total of 6 games, Green Bay is 6-0. Did you know that the spread on the football game went from 3.5 favoring the home Cardinals to now 6? That's how much they factor in. I do think they'll spread their offense around. And if you're looking for gambling, I would take the win by less than six.
Yes, you didn't read the notes.
But they had some crazy stats about Adams, and that's where I was kind of pointing to. What is it, like 73% of the time? I don't know. Rodgers looks for him. So anyway, somebody else is going to get the ball.
Could you name any of those other people?
No, I don't have any idea.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers could either.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put names on the helmets here coming into practice. But that was funny, and they mentioned on the overnight show, just from a gambling perspective, JR, how the COVID affects it, right?
Oh,
and
for sure.
You can't take the game off the board. You can't cancel the game. And, you know, how do you kind of look at this? So, yeah, pretty cool.
One other hockey note from last night. Let's quickly touch on it. Let's take it to Carolina, where the Leafs had gone in winless in 3, taking on their old mate, Freddie Anderson, between the pipes for the first time against Toronto. The Leafs got a goal early. Auston Matthews scored. They were up 1-0 after 1. Carolina scored 2 in the second when...
Niederreiter to Staal. Staal lays it back. Or Slavin with a nice move around Marner. Gets it down low. Niederreiter scores! Oh, that's a beauty! A Picasso painted by the Hurricanes to take a 3-1 lead. Nino Niederreiter's second of the season.
He would add the empty netter in the third. Svechnikov scored. 4-1 is the final. Freddie Anderson, 24 saves in the win against his former team. Matthews and Marner were on for the last 3 Carolina goals. Matthews did score a goal, but overall, another tepid night for the Leafs, who are now winless in 4 and have just 2 wins in 7 games to start the season.
Yeah, and she's getting negative. You're trying to move it around. Richie now on the 4th line. You got Bunting coming in, and it ain't happening. And in Carolina, boy, they sure love to kind of play it up. They've had their fun with the Montreal Canadiens. And who's revving the siren last night, JR, before the game?
I think I'm pretty much done with them.
I'm very done with it.
But it's some good trolling.
Well, you know, and they keep coming back. And then I think for the biggest angle, guys, I'm a Freddie Anderson guy, and people will point to you never done it. Well, took Chris Osgood, took a lot of goaltenders, guys, back in the day to finally get over the hump. Now he's got to do it, but I look at that right now, and I think for Carolina, they upgraded their goaltending, and they got a nice hockey team, and they can kind of tuck Kotkaniemi away and not even count on him and still having fun with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. For the Leafs, by the way, their next game is against Chicago, and you want to talk about a hungry team, the Blackhawks. Have not won a game. In fact, they haven't even led in a game so far this season. It's an incredible statistic. They got bag skated by their coach yesterday. I would assume I'm going to assume that the coach is going to want to get the best from him, from his team coming up. So the Leafs will be facing a very hungry Hawks team coming up on tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think they'll be hungry. I also kind of wonder if they're fed up with him. Did you see the little segment the other day where he handed the whiteboard to the players? Said, hey, you drop a play. And Jeremy Cullinton, when you put this in perspective, played on the World Junior with Jonathan Toews, so he's the same age. That is a terrible, bad hockey team, and it has been for a number of years. And flat out, JR, I don't understand why Chicago, after winning three cups, didn't want to embrace a rebuild. And it's continued to be in denial. I understand that you had, you know, Kane and Toews, and understand Seabrook now on IR, but you got rid of Keith. Why they didn't go right into that when it's a real good market? They're headed into a real bad spot here. I'm assuming jobs are on the line in both of those markets right now.
All right, we're running down the full scoreboard for you from last night's NHL at the top of the hour. Our sports update is on the way following the latest news from 580 CFRA. And then when we come back, more on the Sens. An entertaining game, but a third straight loss last night as they fall 7-5 to Washington. More on that. We'll talk about Alexander Ovechkin, who ends up getting two goals, including the go-ahead goal from which the Sens never recovered. Should he even have been on the ice to be able to score that goal? We'll come back. We'll talk about all of that and much more. And we'll get them winning starting next hour, including a pair of tickets to see the Red Blacks Friday night against Calgary as part of our Red Blacks all-day ticket giveaway. We'll have our $1,000 minute. Mike Johnson just coming up just after 8 o'clock on a busy Tuesday. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200.